this is Tracy with Spiritual Not Religious. Today I'm going to talk about the concept of what people call extrasensory perception, and I am going to reframe it a little bit from what people usually use the term. People use the term sixth sense as if there are the five regular senses, and then into more advanced intuitive, what we call intuitive abilities are something additional. And a different way of looking at it is that actually the senses that we have to pick up on things that are maybe a little bit more than what most people are picking up on are really, rather than an additional sense, they are an extension of the senses that we already have. So the one that I want to focus on mostly today too is the sense of touch. When we're in elementary school or whenever it is, and we learn the five senses, we learn hearing, tasting, seeing, smelling, feeling, we're taught that we're seeing things outside of ourselves, we're hearing things outside of ourselves, smelling things outside of ourselves, tasting things that, you know, essentially come into us from outside of ourselves. But the sense of touch, we're taught that seems to begin and end at the skin. And that, I think, is where the problem arises with people finding things like being what we call empathic, or picking up on the feelings of situations and people around us as being something odd or unusual. If we're taught that our sense of touch is entirely just at the cusp of the skin, or, you know, maybe our internal organs or something, that it's just the physical body itself, then people who are noticing the sensations of energy in and around the room they're in or the people they're around are going to think that they're picking up on something very strange. I think the reason why it seems strange is more just that the paradigm that we're taught. We're taught to expect that we can't feel anything outside of the nerve endings in our skin or in our bodies. And when you're taught to only expect to find something in a certain place or in a certain way, then anything beyond that is seen as strange. I would argue that just like sound and visual cues and olfactory cues and things like that are vibratory in nature, it is, and come from what appears to be outside of us. So the sense of touch is also picking up on things outside of us. So it's more the norm, really, that people are picking up on cues and sensations and vibratory signatures outside of themselves, and than unusual. Actually, everyone is doing it to some extent. Everyone, or most people will say, I felt it in the room, or you could cut the tension with a knife, or things like that. People are always picking up on those things, but they doubt themselves because the thing that they're taught is that that isn't what's happening. So I would like to introduce a new way of looking at it. The sense of touch, like every other sense, is picking up on things from the environment. And we are feeling things around us. And just as we see things with our eyes that are, you know, stimulus from outside of us, we are feeling things that are outside of us. We're hearing things out from outside of us, and so on. So empathy, what we call empathy, is, or what is shortened to mean a particular thing, being an empath or being empathic, is just the actual experience of the sense of touch as it really is. And when I say that it's the way that it really is, I mean that this is what's happening all the time. We just aren't acknowledging it because we're taught that that's not what is happening. And if you're taught that something isn't happening, you will believe that it isn't happening, even if it actually is. Now, in the context of all of this argument or explanation that I'm giving today, it's based on the principle that everything is vibration. Everything is a manifestation of vibration, including feelings, thoughts, consciousness itself is vibration. So when we feel a feeling, like say you're with someone and they are feeling very sad and you notice yourself feeling very sad, you are very likely feeling the vibration of their sadness. And what happens is that because we are taught that all of our emotional states are exclusively generated from our psyche in some way, we think, oh, I'm sad. Whereas if you heard a sound of a car going by and you heard it and that sound goes in your ear, you're not going to think, oh, I'm a car. Or you're going to know that that's coming from outside of you because you're taught that that sound is coming from outside of you. Whereas because you're taught that emotional vibrations are only originating out of your psyche, you're going to assume that that is your sadness. So if you begin to think of it as, oh, I'm just getting information about this person's emotional state, in the same way that I might get information about a truck passing by, then it's easier to begin the process of not attaching to that feeling. Because whenever we think that something is who we are or is generated from us, it's much more difficult to detach from it. Or we think that we need to sit with that feeling and process it, when in fact it's just information. We're getting information about anger in from another person, or different kind of, just maybe walking into a room and knowing that there'd been some kind of a conflict in that room, or just feeling uncomfortable in that room. And you think, why am I uncomfortable? You're not going to say, why am I the smell of the stew if you're smelling stew, right? You're going to know that you're picking up information about something outside of yourself. You're going, ah, there is stew. You aren't going to try to process or understand the fact that you smelled that. You're just going to say, ah, information. And the same can be for picking up emotional states or even thoughts of other people. Thoughts are vibration too. That's, you know, maybe a different kind of, that's not exactly the same as being an empath, but we'll go into that, all that at another time. So, because I'd say the way I'm defining being an empath is specifically things that are an extension of the sense of touch, meaning feelings. So another thing that is a way that the way we're taught to understand things affects how we perceive them is the idea of feelings. People often, especially those who are uncomfortable with the idea of emotional states in themselves in general, they are going to always think that their feelings are, quote, in their head. I like to say that there is no way to have a feeling in your head because the kinds of nerve endings that feel are not in your head. They're not in your brain. We process things a certain way in the brain, but we don't have the sense of touch the way we do in the rest of the body. So our feelings are always in our bodies. When you feel anxious, you feel it in your gut or your chest. For instance, those are the typical places when you feel stress, you feel it maybe in your shoulders or your back, and so forth, and so on and so forth. And then people who have had various kinds of traumatic experiences will often experience pain or discomfort or some sort of a sensation in the area of their bodies where that trauma occurred. So our feelings are in our bodies, and they are a part of the sense of touch. So our emotional states are an aspect of the sense of touch. And when we are noticing the emotional state in another person, and we might actually feel it in our own bodies, that is a resonance of that vibratory signature that we're noticing as information, just like if we hear the truck. We're hearing a sound that gives us information. And then in the case of emotional states, if we grab onto that, or if we feel like, oh, because they're feeling that feeling, I have to either fix it or I need to process it or whatever, then we become attached to it and it gets stuck. So the first step when you're feeling a feeling and you're not sure where it's coming from is just to say, not mine. And as soon as you kind of tune into that feeling and say, not mine, typically it will pass if you feel confident that that is, you know, that is the case. Now, naturally, the next question that you might have would be, well, what if it is my feeling? What if it is a feeling that's being generated out of my own psyche? Well, in that case as well, the concept of detachment comes into play, because really, even our own emotional states that are arising out of our own psyches are just information. They're information about what's going on. And we don't have to grab onto it in order to get the information. We can experience it as information and let it keep moving. It's the fact that we have been taught that our psyches are these rather fragile entities that, you know, every emotional state must be processed within an inch of its life is actually problematic, and I would say very inaccurate. It's not the same. What I'm talking about is detachment, meaning not attaching or non-attachment. It's not the same as disassociation. So let me clarify there. Detachment allows us to get the information from whatever sensory input we have, whether it's a physical sensation or a thought or a sound or anything at all. It gives us the opportunity, it gives us the perspective where we can gather the information from that experience and not grab hold of it and get stuck with it. Disassociation, on the other hand, is when we check out, when we say, no, this is such a horrible, uncomfortable feeling that I need to ignore it or deny it or become numb to it. So that's disassociation, which is different than detachment. So that's how I'm using those two terms. I'm using non-attachment or detachment and versus disassociation. They're actually quite opposite, but they're often confused with each other. So the term detached is sometimes used to mean like not caring or not involved. And I don't mean it that way at all. I mean it in a very different way, which I'll explain in a minute. So if it's easier for you to consider the concept, if you say non-attachment, that's fine. In fact, going forward, I'll try to remember to say non-attachment instead of detachment for the sake of clarity. So non-attachment, and now I'll explain why it's really quite the opposite of disassociation. If one is not attached or non-attached to one's thoughts or feelings, whether they come from inside or outside of us, then we're able to get the information without getting trapped by it. This applies both to our own thoughts and feelings and others' thoughts and feelings if we happen to be a sensitive person who picks up on those things in others. We can mindfully observe the experience of that feeling or thought without making it about me. So that's what one of the things I like to teach is rather than saying I am anxious, it's more helpful to say I'm experiencing the sensation I call anxiety, or I'm experiencing a sensation, and not getting hooked into even labeling it if you can help it, because it really is just a sensation, and the way that you frame it will change the way that you experience it. And so I'll give a little example, a little way for you to get a sense of what I'm talking about. While you're listening to this, I'd like you to, if you're willing, to go ahead and say out loud, don't even worry, don't even try to think of a thing that you're anxious about, but just say out loud, I am anxious. And when you do that, you might notice immediately that your body responds with a feeling of anxiety. Now notice that sensation, wherever it showed up in you, that feeling of I am anxious. And now notice that sensation and just say, I'm noticing a sensation I call anxiety. And notice how that immediately activates the observer self, the part of you that is noticing you having an experience rather than the part of you that identifies as the experience. So that's one step. Now the next step is to notice that sensation that we call anxiety is actually very similar to a lot of other sensations. So I'd like you to notice that sensation again if you can. Notice that sensation of that you call anxiety and say, I'm noticing a sensation that feels like curiosity. And you may notice, or I'm noticing a sensation that feels like excitement. Because honestly, that sensation of that is sometimes labeled anxiety is also a lot like excitement, a lot like anticipation, a lot like curiosity, a lot like enthusiasm, actually. So if we always frame that sensation as anxiety, then we'll respond to it as if it is always anxiety. Whereas if we label it something slightly different and more fun, then we can actually take that same energy of that sensation and use it in a different way. So that's a good example of how non-attachment, even to those states which we feel are coming from our own psyches, can be something that we don't have to sit with. We don't have to sit and mull it over or figure out where it's coming from and all of those sorts of things. If it's necessary to know where a feeling is coming from, we will figure it out. But often it isn't all that necessary or even possible. So it's like, I'm so anxious, but I don't know why, people sometimes say. And it may be, in fact, that there isn't a clear reason why, and that's why they can't figure it out. That being said, all of our emotional states are useful in certain ways as information. So if you notice a sensation that comes up that's like, for instance, let's use anxiety again. If you notice anxiety popping up, the first thing is to say, is there something I need to do? Is there some action I need to take? For instance, you might notice that the anxiety is specific to an issue. Like, let's say you feel it, the feeling of anxiety because you are late on a deadline. So you say, I know what this anxiety is. It's because I'm late on a deadline. So the actual best way to resolve that anxiety in the most useful way is to take action on the deadline immediately. But I'm too anxious to do anything. Well, you can't. If you wait for anxiety to go away before you deal with the thing you're anxious about, then you obviously will stay stuck. So just say, this anxiety is telling me that there's something I need to handle, so let me handle it. And then as soon as you handle it, then the anxiety will dissipate. Let's say the sensation is anger. You feel angry. So you ask yourself, is there something that is relevant for me to be angry about right now? And if there is, then taking some action with that anger will help. For instance, I'm angry because someone, did something that I don't like or in some way harmed me. So then you can say, is the best action for me to clarify my boundary right now? Or is the best action for me to let go of what I can't control? There's a lot of different ways that you can interact with that anger, the information of that anger. And then it'll dissipate. Now, if you can't honestly, with a rigorous self-reflection, find a thing that you can do with the sensation you're feeling, then the next thing is to just let it pass, noticing that this was good information. Thank you. You can move on now as a sensation. And then use that first practice that I suggested where you say, I notice a sensation. The sensation is what I usually label anxiety. I notice that it's also a lot like excitement. I notice it's also a lot like curiosity, etc. Or, if you're noticing anger, one of the first things to ask yourself is, I'm noticing a feeling of anger. Is there something I'm afraid of right now? Because underneath anger is typically a fear, because anger arises as a form of protection against things that we're afraid of. I would say 99% of the time, what we're afraid of is some sort of that we've been rejected or a fear of being isolated in some way. 99% of the time, when we're angry, we're afraid of having been dismissed or hurt by someone else. And in all honesty, the best way to resolve that is just to realize, oh, I'm safe. If someone doesn't like me or is mean to me, that will not actually cause me real harm. So, and I think that's probably a topic that might show up again in more detail in the future, because I think it can be a tough one to work through, but it's very freeing once you do. Okay, so that's the idea of the sense of touch being what being an empath really is. It's just the actual full experience of the sense of touch, which, like other senses, is picking up information from not just inside of you, but also from all around you. So that's the that particular sense. And that particular, what some people consider to be psychic. I don't have any problem with that word, but some people have a lot of baggage with that word. So I'm always careful with it. But it isn't a sixth sense. And I don't know why I cannot say sixth without kind of lisping. So sorry about that. I've tried a million times to not sort of lisp when I say that word, but I can't figure out how. See what I just did? I haven't yet figured out how. And furthermore, I haven't yet decided if it even matters. So, okay. So that's a starting point. That was a lot. And I will, in my next episodes, I will cover the other senses and how they are often experienced in a more expanded way that people refer to as psychic or intuitive, but it's really just the full experience or a fuller experience of what those senses are supposed to do in the first place. It's nothing supernatural. It's just actually fully natural. So I am thinking this will be a cool topic. So I hope this was interesting. If you have questions about your own supersensory abilities or experiences or any other kinds of questions, I would love it if you would leave me a message via Anchor. There's some sort of a little link in the show note area if you would put in something there and leave me a message. You can do a voice message also. And if you give me permission, I'll even answer the question on the air. So that would be super duper fun. And I would love it, love it, love it. So if somebody wants to do that, I would be grateful. So talk to you next time. Bye-bye.